You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me for our Blue Friday episode, my co-host, Nick Lee. Glad to have you listening in. This is going to be one heck of a Blue Friday episode. We're amped up to have our first Seahawks mock draft of the offseason. Looking forward to diving into a bunch of prospects and making our selections to add to the Seahawks roster. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Now for your lead story here on our Blue Friday episode of Locked On Seahawks. We are now deep into the second week of the offseason. We're seeing a bunch of teams moving players. This has been a talking point on our show for the last couple of weeks. The salary cap going to be around $180 to $185 million, maybe a teeny bit higher than that when it's all said and done. The floor is going to be $180 million, so still a significant decrease from the 2020 offseason. Teams have less money to play with. They're trying to scramble to open up cap space, and we're going to continue to see big names hit the market. I don't think we've seen some of the biggest names yet as teams are kind of holding out. They're waiting and waiting and waiting. That includes the Seahawks. We've had discussions about this, Nick. They right now, according to Over the Cap, have $4.391 million in estimated cap space. That is not much to work with. That's basically your rookie class and maybe one mid-level veteran that you could sign with that money. And so they're going to have to find ways to create cap space, much like the rest of the league is doing. It's astonishing to me. Eight teams are $18 million or more over the cap right now. So the Seahawks are actually in a decent position, not being in the red, but they also don't have a ton of flexibility, at least in the moment. We've talked about contract extensions. We've looked at potential trades, but I think we need to look at the cap casualty aspect because I do think it's going to be tough for teams to be able to trade players this year because everyone else is trying to cut salary. They don't want to take on bloated contracts from veterans. We're seeing a few teams finding ways to trade players, like the Eagles sending Carson Wentz to the Colts. But away from the quarterback position, it's going to be very difficult to make trades like that. That could lead to a team even like the Seahawks trying to jettison a few veterans when they run out of options and they need cap space.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about everyone else kind of being in that same boat of being trying to pinch a few more pennies this year with the pandemic and the salary cap being lower than most people hoped for. That's going to be the harsh reality of the NFL is the salary cap. It's not like baseball where you can sign your star shortstop to a $340 million contract on a whim. There's a bit more restrictions there in the NFL. And this is just the harsh reality of it. We've seen it in Houston with J.J. Watt, although I think there's a few more things at play than just the salary cap over there. And we'll discuss here a few players that obviously the Seahawks would hate to lose. It's not like there's no way you can cut a guy right now, at least with the Seahawks, a guy that'll give you a lot of cap space to go, it'll be fine. We'll replace him with our four draft picks we have. That's not really how it's going to work this year. You're bound to, if you're exploring the options of releasing a player for cap space, obviously you're going to hurt your team until you replace that player. And it's going to hurt to lose that player. And a guy that really sticks out to me, Corbin, just diving into a name, is Carlos Dunlap. I think he was an absolute revelation last year when he came over from Cincinnati and just really injected life into that whole defense. And really, you can pinpoint him coming to Seattle as kind of right around where the Seattle turned around defensively. And if you cut him, straight up cut him, that's about $14 million off the cap or so. And that gives you a ton of flexibility to sign some guys. I know we're both banging the table for interior linemen like Lindsley at center, or Sheriff, or someone in that guard. That gives you a ton of flexibility just letting go of Dunlap. But we also can't really say, oh, yep, Dunlap, thanks for a fun half of 2020, because you also now need to replace Carlos Dunlap, who is arguably your best pass rusher for half the season.
Yeah, that's going to be a really tough decision for the Seahawks to make there, because I don't see any tenable way that they're keeping Carlos Dunlap in 2020 with his current $14.037 million cap hit. I just don't see any way they're going to do that. I'm sure they're already in discussions about a potential extension, and they can move some of that cap hit to future seasons. That is an alternative that they have. But unlike Jaron Reed, who is another high-priced defensive lineman that could be released, there's not a dead cap hit for releasing Dunlap. You're going to get that full $14-plus million immediately available in cap room. They would go from a little over $4 million to over $18 million in cap space just by making a move there and cutting him or even trading him. There's no dead cap money there. Jaron Reed, on the other hand, you've got a $5 million projected dead cap hit if you trade him or you cut him. You're still going to save almost $9 million, though. So I think that still has to be on the table as well. I don't think they're going to get rid of both those players. That would be two huge losses on the defensive line. But if they were to do that, they would have $27 million in cap room instantly. And so, yeah, you've created two holes now that you need to fill, but you also have a lot more financial flexibility. And this is without turning base salaries into signing bonuses for Russell Wilson and or Bobby Wagner. We've talked again, time and time again about this. There are a lot of ways that John Schneider can easily create cap space. And sure, it puts a little more burden on your team salary cap wise in future seasons. But if you're going to do that, this is the year to do it when you are dealing with such a decline in salary cap money that's available. Those are the two big names as far as guys that are going to get cut potentially. I don't see any way the Seahawks would cut somebody like Tyler Lockett or Dwayne Brown. Yeah, you can save a lot of money if you do that, but those are two invaluable players on your offense. The worst case scenario, those guys, you trade them to get draft picks. They are not going to get cut. Dunlap and Reed, I think they're going to have to at least be willing to consider, if they can't reach an extension or they can't trade them, that there's a possibility you could cut one of those players.
Yeah, obviously cutting is last resort. No team wants to do that. Jaron Reed and Carlos Dunlap both play a pretty darn big role along the defensive line. And with limited draft, I think this would be a different conversation if the Seahawks had 5, 6, 7 draft picks and one's higher than 56 overall. I think I would feel a bit more confident maybe letting go of a Jaron Reed or even a Carlos Dunlap if the Seahawks had, you know, a later first round pick or somewhere they can, you know, trade back and accumulate picks, or if a really top tier prospect pass rusher falls to them at a certain pick. You know, then you can pull the trigger there and maybe make up that difference. But just with how far back the Seahawks are in the draft and how little draft picks they have already, it's you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You don't have a lot of draft capital to recoup. And so I think you brought up the trade for draft picks. If the Seahawks have to get rid of players, I think that's the route you got to try to go, just because you can really kill two birds with one stone. You can free up some cap space and recoup a couple picks. I know that we just mentioned that the trade market might be a little bit more frozen, but maybe unfortunately you take a lesser deal than you normally would. But I think that's probably got to be the floor, I would say, was trade away Jaron Reed for a fourth round pick or something like that, if that's how you do it, because there's just no way the Seahawks can cut guys and remain with four draft picks and expect to get better this offseason.
Yeah, that's the difficult premise here. When you don't have draft picks to be able to fill a lot of those needs, you don't have the high picks to go out and get talented football players that you can supplement your roster with. And even with those moves, I mean, that cap space, $27 million, is going to dry up pretty quickly, especially with some of the big names of their own free agents that they're going to be trying to re-sign. And so you have to keep in mind there's flexibility here, but it's not so much they can just go out and splurge and spend a bunch of money either. They have to be smart. They have to be decisive with the moves that they make this offseason. And once you go away from those two players, they don't really have anyone else that makes sense to really cut that's going to really put a dent in your salary cap stuff. The one name I will throw out there that to me is a possibility could be cut. We saw this happen with Tedrick Thompson a year ago. He had a playing time bonus that made his cap hit go above $2 million. The Seahawks decided they were not going to pay that for him. I could see a similar situation developing with Trey Flowers in the last year of his contract. His cap number is now above $2.2 million. If they cut him, they can save a little over $2 million. That doesn't seem like a big deal, but that might be the difference between them not being able to upgrade at the center position and adding a big name like Corey Linsley, making a cut like that. And so it's a possibility with the corner situation right now, Shaquille Griffin, as well as Quentin Dunbar hitting free agency. They probably don't want to make that move right now. But if they already have their sights set on re-signing at least one of those players, or maybe they want to look at a player like bringing Richard Sherman back, for example. I mean, there's a lot of options on the table for Seattle at corner. That could be one avenue they could look at to release a player that's going to create quite a bit of cap space compared to the rest of the roster. They just don't have a lot of other options away from Jaron Reed and Carlos Dunlap. Again, we'll just have to wait and see what John Schneider and the front office decide to do, because they absolutely need to clear some cap space. They've got some alternatives to make it happen. Now we'll just have to see what options they end up choosing. Are there going to be any trade opportunities? If not, do they consider releasing a player like Reed or Dunlap because they have no choice and they need to create cap space? A lot of big questions, a lot of dominoes that are going to be left to fall here in upcoming weeks. When we return for the second quarter, Nick and I are fired up. It's mock draft time. Our first mock draft of the offseason here on the Locked On Seahawks podcast. The Seahawks don't have a lot of draft picks, but Nick and I are going to try to improve this roster with the limited draft capital that we have. Trades will be on the table, so we're really looking forward to our first mock of the offseason. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Are you looking for a way to boost your workout game? Are you seeking a delicious protein bar without the sugar and carbs? Enter in the Built Bar. They're unleashing perhaps their best tasting flavor yet with the Coconut Puff Bar. If you loved the Cookie Dough Chunk Built Bar, this one will blow you away. Luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow, and a premium collagen protein blend. It really doesn't get better than that. And it's only 130 calories, 6 grams of sugar, and 16 grams of protein per bar. Gluten-free and preservative-free, it's absolutely delicious. This is a limited-time flavor that is only being sold for one day. Order now. Visit BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your order. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. This is your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for our Blue Friday episode, my colleague, Nick Lee. It's time to draft, Nick. We've been waiting for this moment. This one of our favorite things about the offseason is being able to conduct mock drafts, and this will be the first one that we have done for the 2021 offseason. A little different situation this time around, though. As you were mentioning in the first quarter, the Seahawks only have 4 picks currently in the draft, and big part of that is because they traded their first and third round picks to get Jamal Adams last July from the Jets, and they traded a 7th rounder to the Bengals to get Carlos Dunlap in the middle of the season. So they only have picks 56, picks 129, 168, and 209. Those 4 selections, that's all the Seahawks have right now. They could certainly try to add to that list by trading away a veteran, as we mentioned, Dunlap and Jaron Reed being 2 guys that might be assets they can move for a day 3 draft pick. But otherwise, they don't really have a lot of pieces to add picks in the draft. And not having a first-round pick is going to make it tough for us to get much value back if we try to trade down either.
Yeah, I think that's the big killer for me. Last year, I had a ton of fun with these mock drafts, and I still do. But it was a bit more fun when you had some draft capital to trade back from and recoup picks like, you know, John Schneider likes to do. And this year, yeah, I found myself maybe tempted a few times to try to trade up. But there was just hardly any ammunition to get above a few picks above yourself at 56. So, this is really a unique year. And I think we both can agree this is probably John Schneider's biggest challenge in his whole regime as far as the draft goes.
Yeah, I think this is the toughest challenge that he has ever had awaiting him when you consider the complete picture. They don't have a ton of cap space. You've got a quarterback that has been stating some frustrations publicly in Russell Wilson. He wants to have talent add to the roster, but again, not a lot of cap space to work with. There's going to be some difficult choices they have to make with the roster, and then only having 4 draft picks on top of it. So it's going to be a challenge. And I think we need to cue up the Jeopardy music to get started here, because the Seahawks don't pick until pick 56. So let's get started. And maybe like 10 minutes from now, their pick will be up here.
Don't throw any draft parties, because it's not going to happen on first round.
Luckily, this simulator is quick. So we are on the clock now. The Seahawks up at pick 56. We do have one trade offer to consider, and I will say that for the ground rules, we are allowed to trade. We can seek trades for players as well. We have an offer on the table, Nick, from the Baltimore Ravens. They are offering pick number 58, so a two-pick drop and a fourth rounder for next year. Me personally, I don't want to trade for picks for next season. If I'm adding, I need picks now. Yeah. And 100%. This is the only offer we have on the table. That doesn't mean that we can't try to make a trade with somebody else. I kind of want to counter this offer from the Ravens and see if we can add a pick for this year.
Yeah, 100%. Let's do that, because for the interest of this simulation, I want picks for this year.
So I don't think we're going to be able, only moving back two spots, I don't think we're going to be able to add a pick that's going to be in the middle rounds. I think it's going to have to be a late pick. So we're probably looking at 184 and 211. Those are two late picks that the Ravens have. I think going for 184 makes sense. We're only dropping back two spots, but we can add an additional pick. I think that's where we go. And if that doesn't work, maybe we can try 211. But I think that this makes sense. We're only going down two spots and we can recoup a pick. They've accepted it. So perfect. So
thanks,
we now get to drop two spots. And this is what's interesting about this situation. Second round picks this year might be coveted more than they ever have been, in part because teams want to get cheap players that are under contract more than ever. And so we are now at pick 58, and we have another trade offer that's on the table from the Cardinals. I can tell you right now, I am rejecting this in a heartbeat. Yep. They want us to drop to 79 and take a third round pick for next year. Again, I don't want picks for next season. I want picks now. I think at this point we make this selection at pick 58, or maybe we consider making one more trade down and look and see if there's any trade partners that make sense.
Yeah, I think this is about where we make our first pick here in 58.
We could drop down to 65. And as you said, that there would be some risk with that. But if you drop down that many picks, I think it gives you a better chance to be able to get a sixth rounder maybe, which to me is a big deal. So
yeah,
I think what we do, we try to add pick 171 with pick 65. If we can't get that, then we pick here. And this is the situation you end up in. You can't sit for 25 minutes trying to make a trade.
Yeah, this is all happening rapid fire.
So the Jaguars did not accept our deal. So I think we stay here. We did add a pick already. We have the flexibility to be able to maybe add a late pick later. So looking at the board here, I am going to be beating the drum here. Pick 58, if Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma is still there, I absolutely want Creed. I want him throwing haymakers for the Seahawks up front. I think he is a fantastic player. There's another good center here from Alabama as well, Landon Dickerson. I just feel like we have to go offensive line here.
Yeah, I like Landon Dickerson a lot. I mean, he's a leader on the offensive line for Alabama, the national champions, historic offense, and multiple year starter, I believe. And so I think Creed Humphrey and Landon Dickerson,
I'm going to go to bat for one more guy here. Dylan Radins, the tackle out of North Dakota State, is still available. I know they have Dwayne Brown and Brandon Shell right now, but Dylan Radins is one of my favorite tackle prospects. And I think in an offense that runs more wide zone, he's a very athletic tackle. He plays with a mean streak. I think it would make a lot of sense. Maybe you go get your heir apparent for Dwayne Brown right now, too. You have to be thinking a step ahead in the draft as well. So I think we've got to go O-line. All three of those guys make a lot of sense here.
Yeah, I still am leaning interior just because that's the most glaring need. I get your points, but I think with your first pick in the draft and still how limited the capital is, I think we got to go interior.
Yeah, I vote Humphrey. I don't know where you stand on this, but to me, Creed Humphrey is the best center out of the group that are left here. Dickerson would be a worthwhile pick here as well, but I just think Humphrey fits the Seahawks' identity. I think he's the guy I would go with here.
Let's pull the trigger. I like that too.
Creed Humphrey coming in at pick 58. So the Seahawks will be back on the clock in about 6 hours here.
And he was valued at pick four at number 48 overall. So the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's good value in the late second round. So the Seahawks are back on the clock now at pick 129. Now, to put in perspective, we did add one selection by trading back. So the Seahawks still have four picks now remaining. Pick 129. I don't have any offers in. I think at this point, looking at the players that are available, I see a couple players here that jump out to me immediately that I think would be really nice additions. I think Seattle's got to be looking in the backfield. I'm a big fan of Trey Sermon. At 129, I think he makes sense. I wouldn't pick him earlier than that. But I think at 129, he would be a fascinating pick to go after here. Digzua from UCLA is a player that I like too, a defensive tackle. I don't know if I'm going DT this early, though, given the situation. And looking at some of the other players here, Deontay Smith, the tackle out of East Carolina, is a project, but he could be a very good player, maybe a guy you can develop behind Duane Brown. And one of my favorite receivers is still on the board, Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State. Him and Shai Smith, there's two really good receivers.
Shai Smith is my guy.
Shai Smith is a fantastic player, and he's a really good athlete. I'd love to see him mixing it up with Metcalf and Lockett. So I think receiver is a position that you consider here as well.
Yeah, I think Shai Smith has a chance to be the heir apparent, so to speak, to Tyler Lockett. I think they got some similar skill sets, and maybe he can add a bit more, be a bit more different as well while Tyler Lockett's still on the team, to where him, Lockett, and Metcalf bring all a little bit different things to the table. So for receiver, I'm a big fan of Smith. And Cam Sample, the defensive tackle out of Tulane, I know you mentioned you might not want to go interior line this early, but Cam Sample's the one I've got my eye on. Maybe if he can sneak a bit lower in the draft, I just like his center of gravity, his anchor, some pass rushing skills in the interior out of Tulane. So I like him. Maybe if he can sneak down to the next pick.
Yeah, I actually think receiver here. I like the receivers that are on the board. I would be fine with Shai Smith or Cade Johnson. I think Smith fits more the profile what the Seahawks typically like to draft, being an explosive athlete. And you mentioned Lockett, heir apparent maybe. Lockett's got 1 year left in his contract. It gives you a little bit of a hedge as a player you can develop. Somebody that didn't have good quarterbacks in college, that ain't going to be the case if you got Russell Wilson throwing to you. So I actually like the idea of Shai Smith getting another receiver to complement DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett here.
Yeah, he's your prototypical slot receiver, and I think that would fit well with what the Seahawks are trying to do.
So let's send in our pick here. Shai Smith at 129. Excellent.
You're welcome, Russell Wilson.
So the Seahawks will be back on the clock at pick 168 when we come back for the third quarter. That's how crazy the mock drafts are going to be this year, Nick. We get to do a couple picks, and then it's on to the next quarter because the Seahawks just don't have many selections in this year's draft. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV shows. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition. I'm Corbin Smith, joined by Nick Lee. We're in the middle of our first mock draft of the 2021 offseason. This is going to be a lot of fun here with three more picks to go. We did add a pick earlier by trading down, so three more selections on day three. This is where John Schneider in the front office have made their bread and butter over the years, building the Seahawks into a consistent playoff contender. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast. So the Seahawks are now back on the clock, pick 168, our third selection. Again, we had a pretty large gap between picks here. No trade proposals again. Looking at the players that are available now, Nick, got picked down pretty good here. We just added a receiver, so I don't think that's a position group the Seahawks will be looking at anymore. But we've got a couple more offensive linemen that we can consider here. We've also got a couple big-bodied corners. I'm a big fan of Benjamin St. Juice of Minnesota. He had a really good week at the Senior Bowl, 6'3", around 200 pounds, plays with physicality. He really projects well in Seattle's system. He needs to learn the step kick technique, but the Seahawks have had more success with that with rookies than they have with veterans that they've brought in free agency or via trade. So he is a player that I would swing the bat for. I like him a lot. Trill Williams from Syracuse, another big-bodied corner that would make some sense for the Seahawks. I think the secondary has to be a focal point here, but there are certainly some other position groups that may be worth watching as well.
this is where I think you maybe start looking at interior line as well, and maybe an edge rusher, pass rusher to add to the mix. There are several options here. But I actually read a lot about Robert Rochelle out of Central Arkansas as well. I know he's not the typical long cornerback that the Seahawks like, but I his athleticism, I think, is really intriguing, and you can plug and play kind of a bit of an Ugo Amadi, where he's athletic enough and ball hockey enough to play several positions. And running back, I think, is another one. There's several running backs here that really are intriguing as well. So I'm wondering if the Seahawks want to maybe, I don't know if reach is the right word here, but look at some edge rushers and or running backs. I'm trying to look at the running backs that are still available. Jarrett Patterson, Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert's a guy that I liked. Elijah Mitchell as well out of Louisiana. Larry Roundtree, I think this would be a reach for him at 168 with the guy out of Missouri, but he has been super productive at Mizzou. I didn't realize how productive he was until I started doing some of these. He's a four-year starter, three straight years of over 800 yards. He had 1,200 yards in 2018, 14 rushing touchdowns in 2020. Really productive. So if the Seahawks really, really want to go running back, Roundtree might be my guy.
Yeah, there's also a couple tight ends I like, but I'm not sure that I would pick him this early. Quentin Morris out of Bowling Green intrigues me, and Kylan Granson out of SMU is a guy that could be an interesting weapon. Matt Bushman, your BYU guy.
Yeah,
I think late round might make some sense. He's coming off an injury season that he didn't play, but certainly a guy that would make some sense. I'm going to go to bat for the corner here just because I think this is a position group the Seahawks are going to have to address at some point. Out of the guys that are left, I really like Trill Williams, but I am so intrigued by St. Juste in Seattle's system. To me, that is the guy I'm picking here at 168. I saw enough of the Senior Bowl against top competition to tell me that he's a player that might be able to come in and play pretty quickly for the Seahawks, and you got a guy under club control you can develop for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I'm on board too. I think cornerback is certainly one that needs to be addressed, and I think if you don't pick a cornerback here, obviously the talent's going to drop off a lot, and he has enough of those tangible measurements. 6'3". Is a really, really good length to work with. And I think the Seahawks would be thrilled to have a project like St. Juste.
And so St. Juste is going to be the pick. We're going to send that into the commissioner. And we actually get a pretty quick little gap here. The Seahawks back on the clock at pick 184. So far, looking at our draft haul, we got Creed Humphrey at pick 58. So we got our center of the future, Shai Smith at pick 129. So a explosive slot receiver to go with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and Benjamin St. Juste at pick 168 to upgrade the secondary. So we've taken care of several big needs so far. Now, looking at pick 184, now we're getting to the point where you're seeing the talent pool get picked down tremendously, but there are still a few names out there that would make some sense for the Seahawks to consider. I think when you're looking at the players left on the board, maybe somebody like Dan Moore, the Texas A&M tackle, maybe he's a player that you could look at as a future heir apparent to Dwayne Brown. Alaric Jackson out of Iowa is another player that I like. Didn't have a great week of the Senior Bowl, but he is a player that's athletic. He could play the left tackle spot down the road too. Might even be a guard. So you might be able to consider him at left guard right away, potentially too. So he might be the one that I'm going to bat right now on, but there's certainly some other players here that are intriguing in different position groups. A couple of the tight ends that I mentioned are still there, could be available for the Seahawks to look at. Running back position has been picked down pretty good for the most part.
I saw Larry Roundtree, I think, is still there, the guy I went to bat for earlier.
Yeah, Roundtree's still available. Jarrett Patterson's just too small. I don't see him being a fit for the Seahawks system. I think another guy that might be worth considering down the road, Jamar Jefferson out of Oregon State, is a pretty solid
running back. Boy, is he fun to watch.
He's a lot of fun to watch. And I know you're going to hate this, but CJ Marable out of Coastal Carolina, I'm a big fan of as a late round flyer too. So there are some running backs that are going to be here still potentially for that last pick. I don't see it being that big of a need. I really don't. If I could get somebody like Trey Sermon earlier, I might've taken that stab. But to me right now, I just look at the players that are available. I'm either going with the tackle that we looked at there from Texas A&M. I think Dan Moore could make some sense. Alaric Jackson. I actually think Jackson is a better player of the two. I think he would make some sense here. There's a couple of young corners. The edge rushers have been picked down pretty good at this point. You're not going to find too much talent at the end position available here. No. Teron Jackson from Coastal Carolina is still on the board. He's a player you and I both really like. So maybe we might can consider that. He might be available in the seventh round. So we're running low here. We had only 45 seconds to make a pick here. I'm going to go to bat for Alaric Jackson. I really like him out of Iowa. We've seen Iowa players excel in the NFL. They need a left tackle. He can play guard potentially. I think you could have him in the starting lineup at left tackle in a couple years, but right now he could be in the starting lineup playing in the interior.
Yeah, I think after Russell Wilson's comments, I think you got to draw from the offensive line well multiple times in this draft, especially as you add a couple picks.
So let's go with Alaric Jackson at 184. To me, that's a pretty good value pick. This is a guy that at one point was getting some first-round buzz, and he's fallen down the draft boards a bit, but I still think he's a very talented player. So the Seahawks are back on the clock again at pick 209. Now, you and I may explore this before this podcast is over with, but we know John Schneider likes to trade back into the draft. If there's somebody we really like that's still available, maybe we can consider doing that. But, man, the board's been picked down now. I think when you look at the defensive players that are available still on the board, a couple that I really like here, I could see a double dip at corner, maybe going after a player like, say, Israel Mukuamu out of South Carolina.
I like him, yeah.
He's a player that had kind of a rough 2020 season, but he was hurt. I think he would make some sense. He can play in the slot too, so that's another intriguing part of him.
Played everywhere.
He's a player that I really like. And, of course, as we mentioned, still available from Coastal Carolina, Teron Jackson, I'm a huge fan of. I've got a day two grade on him, and he's available here in the seventh round because you and I are higher on him than a lot of people are. But I think Teron Jackson is a disruptive player. I will go to bat any day of the week for him. I just don't know that edge is necessarily a big area of need for this team this year, especially if they're able to retain Carlos Dunlap. And under this presumption, he's still on the roster. So to me, doubling up on corner makes sense. I could see him do that. Maybe Chris Rump, the edge out of Duke, if you want to look at other rushers. Running back, I don't think there's anybody available that's worthwhile right now.
Now, I like Mukuamu a lot. 6'3". South Carolina played him all over the place. They played him outside, slot, deep safety, up in the box, mostly on the outside. And he's a guy that you can develop into that everyday outside cornerback. And even if Seattle does bring back Shaquille Griffin, still have Trey Flowers, Mukuamu's a guy that can move around and really contribute right away in another role. So I think if you're looking for depth and also possible future starter, Mukuamu's your guy.
I think I'm going with Mukuamu too, because quite frankly, the Seahawks could use multiple corners. They need to develop some players at that position, and he does have positional versatility. And so I'm going to go with him. We've got him in. So all of our picks are in. Now we're getting towards the end of the seventh round. Looking at the players, they're still available. I've paused the clock here at pick 246. Teron Jackson is still available. If we potentially want to trade back in, I feel like we need to have a sixth pick here. Maybe there's another player that makes sense here as well. But looking at the players that are still on the board, he's one of the best ones that's available. Maybe somebody like Chris Evans out of Michigan, yeah, Matt Captain Bushman, America, the tight end. There's a number of players. I feel like Bushman is going to be undrafted.
I
feel like he's a guy that we can priority sign here. I don't think Teron Jackson is going to last. I expect him to go up the board here. So I think it's time to call up the Raiders and see if we can make a trade here. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure how much more we want to tempt fate and let the picks go in. And let's see what the Raiders have to say about maybe trading with us. Because that's what the Seahawks did with Stephen Sullivan, no? In the seventh round, they traded.
Yeah, they've done it the last 2 years. So I think it makes a lot of sense here. Actually, I'm going to have this next pick here because I think the Colts are a good trade partner here, or the Jaguars even. I think Jacksonville is a good trade partner here at 248.
And they just have so much draft capital.
I think sending a future sixth to get Teron Jackson makes a lot of sense because Rasheem Green's going to be a free agent after this year. I think you need to bring in another guy that can play that five tech position. And he has versatility to play the other spot too. So
and the Jaguars
pick
seven picks later.
Yeah, exactly. See if we can make this trade. They've accepted it. So we are back in the draft at 248. And we know who we wanted here. Let's go get ourselves an edge rusher that is very disruptive, had 18 sacks the last 2 years at Coastal Carolina. Let's add him. Torture. I like it. We, Matt Bushman was the last pick, so we aren't going to get him as a free agent. But so this is our haul. Pick 58, we get Creed Humphrey. We get our center of the future. Shai Smith at 129, the receiver out of South Carolina, another weapon for Russell Wilson. We doubled up on corners. Pick 168, we got Benjamin St. Juice. 209, we got Israel Mukuamu from South Carolina. And then at 184, sandwiched between those corners, we got Alaric Jackson out of Iowa, a player that could be a left tackle down the road, but also has the ability maybe to play guard right away for the Seahawks. I like that pick at 184. And then we tried to back in with the Jacksonville Jaguars to get pick 248 in the seventh round, pulling off a John Schneider special to get Taron Jackson, who just to me looks like a very Seahawky defensive end.
I like this draft a lot. The Seahawks are really going to have to go for value, and they have very little room for error. And I think what we've done here is recouping a couple picks and, yeah, maybe trading away a couple future draft picks to get more in this year's draft late. I think the Seahawks addressed all their needs, if I'm not mistaken. I think, you know, if I were to do it a little differently, maybe I maybe get a hedge for a Jaron Reed in the middle, but maybe Taron Jackson can fill that for you. We'll see. But I think the Seahawks did the need.
The defensive tackles were off the board a lot of the time because you and I were looking at Darius Stills and a few other guys, and they got picked right before the Seahawks were back on the clock. And there's wide enough gaps that those guys are going to go quickly too.
Yeah, I'm not sure how. I think it might be one of the more shallower positions. So if the guys start going earlier, the pool is going to be drier. But as far as needs go, you got a couple offensive linemen so Russell Wilson can calm down. You got him a weapon in Shai Smith with a slot that could eventually replace Tyler Lockett. You got two corners you can develop, or if one doesn't work out, the other one might. And they both add depth, and one's very versatile. You got Taron Jackson, who is a very, very intriguing prospect and project to rush the passer and along that defensive line. So overall, I think it's a pretty versatile draft and it addressed most of the needs. And I think that you walk away from this draft. Yeah, you didn't get those like top picks, but that's just not the reality of what the Seahawks have this year. I think you walk away feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I think we got pretty good value at a number of positions where the Seahawks have needs right now, and they're going to potentially have needs in the next year or two. So we know John Schneider is always looking ahead when he's making these picks as well. And we have limited flexibility, only starting with four picks. But that's what makes me think we could see another trade back into the seventh round this year, as we ended up doing to get Taron Jackson. I could see John Schneider doing that with a future pick because he's always looking to get as many darts as he can to throw at the dartboard that is the draft. And this year, more than ever, it truly is a dartboard with how weird the college football season was, not having scouts actively at the games and stuff. It's going to be a different animal all the way around. So this will be a pretty darn good draft. The Seahawks were able to pull it off. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Nick at NickLee51. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform, by checking out our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. Make sure to leave us a review as well. When we return on Monday, it's Mock Draft Monday. Pay attention to our social media accounts at Corbin Smith NFL, as well as Locked_Seahawks for requirements for Monday's mock draft. We'll be reading through several listener submissions as we've been doing every Monday. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Go Hawks.